to Australian politics right now. Anna Henderson is Chief Political Correspondent for SBS World News. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Lovely to be here.
Now, I've no doubt you heard Julian Lisa, the member for Barara, Liberal member for Barara, on the show last week, giving John Kerr a tick for everything he did on November the 11th, everything. So I presume the Liberal Party is holding some sort of celebrations for the November the 11th, perhaps a banquet. How's the Liberal Party kicking up its heels?
Well, you know, I listen religiously to every interview on your show, wherever possible, David. I'll have to take your word for it on that one because I didn't hear what Julian had to say, but I haven't heard many on the opposition benches weighing in any sort of controversial or critical way to the, I guess, the work that's been done to note the dismissal in 1975. I can, though, bring you news of the Prime Minister tonight delivering a speech and addressing this directly as, and these are very strong words, quote, a calculated plot hatched by conservative forces which sacrificed conventions and institutions in the pursuit of power. So the Prime Minister was willing to certainly have quite a strong say this speech at Old Parliament House tonight, marking the 50th anniversary.
And I'm not going to crit you for missing the Julian Lisa interview because I know you were extremely busy at the time. But I can't tell you. I mean, total support for what Kerr did. Surely. I mean, tomorrow the Whitlam forces are gathering in Old Parliament House to bemoan what happened on November the 11th, 50 years ago. Surely the Liberals are holding some sort of function to assert their pleasure, their joy, their continuing support for what Kerr did. Can't you find something?
Well, I think the Liberals are a little busy at the moment trying to work out how to kind of plot a future for their own party.
Yes.
And they don't possibly have as much time as you would imagine to reflect on the dismissal. But I guess I read something from Michelle Grattan today that I thought was very timely, where she said, you know, that while the Labor Party was reflecting on the dismissal and what happened with the blowing up of the Labor Party at that time, the coalition was now trying to focus on not kind of completely blowing up its future. So there's some kind of continuum there.
Before we carefully examine the position of the coalition at the moment, there is news, I understand, of some sort of commemoration for Gough in Canberra.
Well, tonight the Prime Minister announced there will be a Whitlam statue in Canberra. And for anyone who's visited Canberra and walked around the city, as many do, we will all remember that there are statues popping up around the place, former prime ministers and other important members of parliament. They sort of tower over you and they're quite an incredible feature of the Canberra walking skyline. And we will have a commissioning of a statue of Whitlam to add to the mix. To go and stand next to and size up to, David.
A great hooded figure in bronze. I can't wait. It's going to be extraordinary. But now,
very
look,
tall.
Yeah, very tall. Very tall. An immense nose. Now, look, Anna, what is the state of the coalition at the moment? Just give us an update. Where are they? Still tearing themselves apart?
They're dealing with the most existential crisis that I've lived through in Canberra in terms of trying to work out what they stand for and chart a path forward. And that's the Liberal Party, because the Nationals are pretty clear on what they want to do and stand for. And at this stage appear relatively united around the position that they have decided to take. And then the Liberals now are trying to deal with the fallout from that. And the reality that now that the Nationals have dropped net zero from their party platform, for what they stand for, that the Liberals now have to really potentially toe the line and drop that language as well, which will be very challenging for many moderates in particular.
I know that the coalition vote has fallen to a tragic sort of 24%, but 20% of that is Liberal and 4% roughly of that, it's pretty hard to calculate exactly, but about 4% of that is National. So the 4% is going to make the 20% kowtow.
Well, the Nationals would see it very differently in terms of the way that the nation is spread, the people they represent, the number of seats they have in the lower house and the Senate. They don't see it in that kind of primary percentage across the country, because when you look at how many seats they have in the lower house, they're a powerful force. And they also believe, and you know, I've spoken to many Nationals over the past couple of weeks to try and understand what's brought them to this position, why they've taken this decision now, and to push them on questions like, you know, the fact that their National Federal Conference, where this decision was made, was sponsored partially by the Minerals Council, for example. It does open them to questions around, you know, which lobbying forces are potentially having an impact on the decisions that they make. And what I'm told, David, and you know, we will have many years to pore over electoral donation disclosures and other materials into the future. What I'm adamantly told is that there is a strong view within the Nationals that there are a lot of country people who they represent who are very unhappy about the big industrial renewables plans, the transmission lines going through the land in those areas, and the unfairness, they say, in the view of many farmers, about who wins and who loses from the renewables race.
Sure, sure. Then again, we know that there are many, many, many farmers deeply worried about the climate and quite used to having power lines crossing their gorgeous acres, because power lines have been crossing gorgeous acres for about 60 or 70 years now, haven't they? But look, let's put that to one side.
I think that's absolutely true as well. I completely agree. There is a diversity of views in the country. But when you put to members of the National Party why they've taken this approach, that is the answer they give.
They come
believe
out with
that
these,
the politics is going to work. Yeah.
Okay, here's a question. Why not just sabotage efforts to get rid of coal and gas? Why not just go about sabotaging the stuff? Why is it necessary for the National Party to make this extraordinary declaration of getting rid of net zero? Why does it have to be declared in this way? Why can't they just go about making a mess of things?
Well, again, I'm conscious of the knowledge that there are various layers of this story. Not all of them might be apparent to us at this point in time. But there is an ideological strength in the view within members of the National Party room that net zero is going to become toxic as a concept. And that they don't want to be in a position to be tied to it when they think it could be a way to electorally differentiate themselves from the Labor Party and potentially make inroads. Now, does this sound, when I put it to pollsters who are looking at city seats, like absolute political poison and something that is going to end disastrously for the Liberal Party? All of them say yes, across the board. But still, that ideological fervour exists within the National Party and within some parts, strong parts of the Liberal Party, that net zero and the Labor renewables transition will mean higher power prices, that people will eventually punish the Labor Party, and they're going to be on the right side of history.
So meanwhile, they'll just walk the party and the coalition over a cliff.
And as one other member of parliament who's, you know, involved in the coalition side of politics said to me, stop looking for logic in what's happening. Stop trying to find a narrative. This is just a whole lot of people who enjoy being in opposition and don't really know how to govern, you know, making decisions to try and blow up the government's policy. They're not thinking strategically as a grouping. I still don't know where the truth lies here, but it is very hard to understand how, you know, when you speak to moderate Liberals who are trying to campaign in city areas, how they're going to sell what the Liberal Party is about to potentially agree to, dropping net zero terminology altogether, how they're going to sell that at the next election to younger voters in particular.
What's your hunch on whether the Liberals will follow the Nats dropping net zero?
I think it's incredibly likely that they will. And that's because, you know, the vast majority of people I'm now speaking to, including within the moderates, have already kind of resigned themselves to thinking that net zero is likely to be gone, and that there'll be a broad commitment to Paris, and that the view is that still signals net zero after 2050, but they drop the language which they think is politically expedient to do and is now sort of something that's tied specifically to the Liberal Party, to the Labor Party.
Any news of whether the Minerals Council will be sponsoring the Christmas party for the Nats?
The Minerals Council does donate to both political parties. I must make that clear.
Of course.
I just thought it was interesting they were the key sponsor of the Nationals Federal Council because of this, you know, narrative that can form and that Nationals do push back against about the influence of the mining lobby in terms of their decision making. And, you know, Hancock Prospecting is still one of the biggest donors to the coalition as well. So you do see that mining interests do have quite an obvious role in terms of being benefactors of these political movements. And also there's a lot about the political donations process, which hasn't been made clear about what happened just ahead of the last election as well. We're still waiting till, I think, February next year to find out that donations data.
Remarkable. Remarkable. Most countries give it to you in real time, end of each week, but we have to wait to the following February. Anna, thank you. We have to wait another week before we speak to you again. Thank you so much for joining us on Late Night Live to make sense of Canberra and to try to straighten me out.
I hope that I can give you more clarity next week.
Good woman.